A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on June 28, 1987, entitled Leadership with a Difference. The scripture readings are Joel 2, verses 28 through 32, and Mark 10, verses 35 through 45. The texts for the sermon are Joel 2, verse 28, and Mark 10, verses 43 through 44. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
I haven't had anyone from the consistory sidle up to me in the last week or so and suggest that they would like to sit on my right hand or my left at the consistory meeting. Now, I'm not sure that one or two of them hasn't thought about it, but nobody has been brazen enough actually to do that. But James and John did that. They said to Jesus, when you enter into your glory and obviously become number one, we would like to become number two and number three. They made that request, which is probably the most inappropriate request they could possibly have made in the context in which they made it. Because if we would go to Luke's gospel, at least his setting of that request is in the midst of the institution of the Lord's Supper. And even in Mark's gospel, there is the announcement of the Passion in this context, in this chapter. It is a time when Jesus is beginning to feel the weight of the cross, when he is beginning to feel the consequence of the whole way and manner of his life, when he is standing before the inevitability of the violent end and is reaching out to his brothers for some support and some succor in this time of intense suffering, and they're talking to him about being first and second in the kingdom of his glory, which they feel perhaps is going to dawn upon them now. It is totally inappropriate and wholly insensitive, missing completely what Jesus was talking about, not only on that occasion, but missing completely what his whole ministry was about. For his whole ministry was a ministry of the kingdom of God, which certainly needs leadership, but leadership with a difference. For the leadership in the kingdom of God, according to Jesus, is a leadership in which there is power to, rather than power over. It's just a difference in preposition, but it makes a world of difference. In fact, it is the difference between leadership in the kingdom and leadership in the world. It is a power to. A power to give one's life away. A power to give one's life for the enhancement of the other. The power to give one's life for the drawing out of the best of the other. It is a power to bring about, to enable the goals and the full realization of the other person. It is power to give oneself to the cause of God in this world. It is not power over, which is so characteristic of our worldly conceptions of authority and power. It is not power to dominate. It is not a power to put down or to oppress. It is not a power with which to rule in an authoritarian manner over the flock. It is the power to yield up one's life in a greater cause, in a cause of the kingdom of God, in the cause of the kingdom of God's people. And so, in the Church of Jesus Christ, and in a congregation like this, we too need leadership, but we need leadership with a difference. We don't need leadership which is authoritarian, dominating, dogmatic, harsh. We need leadership that gives its life away for the enabling of the fullness of life of the other. We need leadership that is willing to die in order that life may spring forth through that death, through the power of resurrection. Leadership in the Church of Jesus Christ is a very tricky business. We always walk that narrow line with a pitfall on either side. Leadership in the Church of Jesus Christ is a very delicate balance. God knows we need leadership in the church. God knows we need people with vision, people who dream dreams, people with high energy and great vitality, who with a passion commit themselves to the cause of Christ and the kingdom. God knows that in the Church of Jesus Christ, we need the best and the brightest, and we need the total devotion of those who are gifted in order that through their ministry, the cause of the kingdom might be advanced. Too long in the church, the leadership of the church, I think, lacked that kind of vitality and energy and vision. There was too little dreaming and too little time spent in thinking what now could be done for the greater glory of God and the broadening and extension of that kingdom. Too long in the church, leadership was synonymous with piety. Now, there's nothing wrong with piety. In fact, piety ought to be an ingredient in the lives of all God's people, and it ought to be characteristic of the lives of all leaders amidst the people of God. But piety in itself is not enough for leadership in the church. I remember when I first came here, nearly 100 years ago now, that one could predict the way into a position of leadership. I'll tell you how it worked. This is the way it worked. You agreed to teach Sunday school. And then once you taught Sunday school, you accepted the invitation to become the superintendent of the Sunday school. And then if you were really eager, you also started to come to the evening service. And then if you wanted to be elected this fall, you not only came to the evening service, but you came to the midweek prayer meeting. And if you wanted to make no mistake about it, you prayed out loud at prayer meeting. And by George, you would be in at the next congregational meeting. You would be a deacon on your way to becoming an elder. Now, through many years, there were wonderful people who were pious before God and who gave their all. But, as someone has said, why is it that those who give their all to God have so little to give? Piety is not enough. It is absolutely essential, but it's not enough. For the Church of Jesus Christ is the greatest enterprise in the world. And the Church of Jesus Christ is on a mission for the salvation, for the redemption of the world. If we really believe the gospel, then we believe we have good news that must be proclaimed far and wide. If we believe the gospel, then we believe that we know that which can alone give hope to the human person. If we believe the gospel, then we believe that we are caught up in an enterprise much bigger than ourselves, which is being implemented throughout the world through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we recognize ourselves simply as the instruments. And if that is the case, then we ought to be dreaming dreams and seeing visions. I said recently to one of the greatest visionaries of this community, what ought the church to be doing given what this community is becoming? And he looked at me like to say, the church is never where the action is. But it's high time the church got where the action is. The tribe of Issachar in the Old Testament, one of the northern tribes that came down and joined forces with David at the unification of the kingdom. The tribe of Issachar was characterized this way. The men of Issachar, the Old Testament writer tells us, had a knowledge of their times and knew what Israel ought to do. The church too long has lived a kind of ghetto existence, contemplating its own navel and having not the slightest idea what was going on in the world. And how can you bring the gospel to the world unless you know the gospel and you know the world? Unless the church of Jesus Christ stays continually in touch with Jesus Christ, its head, and also in touch with its world to which it is to minister the grace of God. And so when I say leadership with a difference, it is not leadership that is characterized by blind ambition, by the desire of James and John to be on the right hand and on the left, to use a position in the church as a place for personal prestige or a platform for personal aggrandizement, but who sees leadership in the church as an opportunity to give one's life away on behalf of the world, to enable, to enhance, to draw out the finest from all of God's children around, to be in the midst of the world, the very concretization of the kingdom of God. This historical reality, this historical existence of a community characterized by reconciliation, by love, by grace, where healing happens and community is formed. That's leadership with a difference. The Old Testament writer in the passage that was cited on the day of Pentecost said the day is coming when the Spirit of God will fall on God's people, when young men and young women, your sons and your daughters, will dream dreams and see visions. And it is not accidental that dreams and visions are mentioned, because the reality of the kingdom of God comes upon one, dawns upon one in dreams and visions. Not as a logical proposition at the end of a syllogism with the carefully calculated rationalism that works in this world. To be a leader in God's church is not easy. It's one thing to run General Motors. It's one thing to operate by the bottom line. It is one thing to operate as you climb the corporate ladder, as you move according to the steps that point to success. It is another thing to be moved by a vision, captivated by a dream, giving your life in order that new life may be born. That's leadership with a difference. No kind of passive, self-effacing martyrdom. Strong, vibrant, alive, visionary leadership, but always before the face of God, for the honor of Jesus, knowing that He Himself is the model who said, Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give His life a ransom for all. Leadership with a difference is leadership captivated by a dream, willing to pay the price of a cross in order that the kingdom of grace may become tangible in the midst of this old world. Absolutely most exciting, greatest, most wonderful, cosmically scintillating movement in all the world to be the people of God.